The brain. It's the most complex organ in the human skull. This marvelous mass of fat controls our hands, wrists, our fingers, our palms, and the rest of our bodies. Our thoughts, our memories, the brain creates them just as easily as it destroys them. We are under its control. We are powerless to stop it. How exciting! Join me in exploring the advances of brain. Hello, and welcome to Advances of Brain. I'm Thad Reynolds. Being the most concussed living person comes with some big responsibilities. For instance, I'm supposed to keep it a secret. At least my producers at the morning show I co-host, Daytime Live, say I'm not supposed to talk about it. All part of my non-disclosure agreement with them, so that the producers don't have to answer questions about my well-being and how I'm even alive in the condition I'm in. Well, sorry you all, but cat's out of the bag. You can thank my insatiable thirst for knowledge for that. Because my biggest responsibility as a cussed-up American is to reveal all I've learned about the brain to you, my students of neo-neurology. On our first episode, we learned the five regions of the brain. If you haven't learned the five parts of the brain, I suggest you go back and listen to episode 1, or else nothing I say on this episode will make any sense. It will sound like the mutterings of a dying man, so insane that you would want to hire someone to hunt me down so as to not sully the earth with my presence any longer. But rest assured, all you have to do is listen to episode 1, and everything I explain on this episode will be completely coherent and quite educational for you. Today, we look at the origin of the human brain. As I was saying, the brain has five parts to it, one of which is the brain tail. The brain tail is a long, boneless appendage that runs from the brain down into the spinal column. It connects the brain to the human body. But this wasn't always the case. Thousands of years ago, the brain used to be its own organism. Until about 30,000 years ago, the brain was likely an ocean-dwelling creature. We know this because the brain sits in the skull in a fluid called brain spit, which is chemically very similar to ocean water. I know because I've drank plenty of both. You have enough operations on the old noggin, they let you drink a little bit of whatever leaks out up there. Meanwhile, early man did not have a brain. Just a bundled knot of nerve endings comprising a central nervous system. This meant that early humans were incapable of any real consciousness. They were completely reactive to their surroundings, constantly in fear, unsure of their purpose, and screaming at the slightest disturbances. It goes without saying, it was quite the utopia. At some point, the primitive humans came into contact with ocean-dwelling brains. An interesting practice then emerged. Early man began wearing brains on top of their heads. You see, early peoples believed that if they wore brains on their heads, God would not be able to see them as he watched them from heaven. Hiding from God, it's what we spend our whole lives doing, isn't it? Quite a relief to know our ancestors did the same. Well, this little practice of putting a brain on top of their heads would have immense ramifications for the human race and the brain race. Eventually, the two would merge. Evolution kicked in, and over the course of a millennium, brains slowly migrated into the human cranium, where the brain resides today, using our skull, our scalp, and our hair as its own little home. The attic of the human body has been occupied ever since. No vacancy between these ear holes. Now, you may be thinking, Thad, where's the physical evidence of this? The fossil record? The archaeological dig-em-ups where you find remnants of prehistoric brains that you're talking about? Alas, it's pointless to rely on physical evidence in this case. Instead, we look at the behavior of the brain. as it actively steers its human host away from searching for the physical evidence of its origins. Instead, the brain makes us interested in stuff like music, movies, sports that injure your head, jumping out of moving cars, drinking boiling water that you thought was seltzer, any number of things that send you to the hospital over and over again, so you don't spend too much time looking into where the brain came from. Furthermore, the brain was very careful to biologically evolve in a way that would sound too bizarre for most people to believe. Very clever brain. No wonder brains are synonymous with smarts. So now you know where the brain came from and how it got into our heads. So that's the end of the story? I'm afraid no. Knowing the brain's origin, migrating from the sea and implanting itself into our heads, helps us understand what's next for this squishy demon we have to carry around behind our mouths. Research conducted at the Synapse Clinic for Neoneurology indicates that the brain may be beginning migration out of the human body. Exhibit number one in this research? Yours truly. That's right. I have the honor of being a patient of Dr. Tisha Synapse, who has come to the conclusion that my brain is trying to get out of my head. Her proof can be found in a lifetime of destructive choices I've made. Case in point, last summer, you may recall I partook in a swimming relay as part of a charity fundraiser. It did not go well. Anytime I entered the pool, I dove into the shallow end. I insisted on wearing blacked-out goggles while swimming, so I collided with the wall of the pool during every event. And more than once, I passed out when waiting poolside because I got confused over whether or not I was still in the pool and stuck underwater. It's clear enough that my brain is trying to defeat my body so it can ooze its way out of my face, or eat its way out of my neck. I'm not sure how it would happen, or when it would start happening to the rest of humanity, but it's the only explanation that really makes any sense. Well, listen up, brain. No doubt would I love to be rid of you, but Dr. Synapse says that's just not possible yet. She'd love to take you out of my skull and keep you for herself. That's how much she loves studying my brain. But until her lab-grown brain substitute is viable, we gotta do all we can to keep this wet, white meat under this scalp. And there you have it, the origin of the brain, its past and its future. Clearly, early people should have killed the brains they were putting on their heads. But they couldn't have known that their actions long ago would one day lead to me constantly diving into empty pools. That was something else I did at the swim relay. Until next time, join me again in discovering more advances of brain.